now and then go ahead and hit it on your end.
Gun.
Okay. You know, the snow falls 3-4 months out of the year in certain parts of the country. And for the most part, we're okay with that. But every now and again, a storm hits that's so big that more than your average Joe is affected by the snow. Now, what does this mean to you? What does this mean to me? It means that there's some people that can't handle the stress and strain of the unpredictable moments in their lives. So what do? They call their moms. They call their friends. They call their brothers, the sisters, their family. And they say, I'm in a situation I've never experienced. What do I do? Ladies and gentlemen, we all have these experiences. And sometimes you just got to look in the mirror and you got to say to yourself, it's just fucking snow.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hype. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Meet Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Woo! You know, Dan, the snow in Texas is enough when I hear about it on the news to blow my brains out.
That Texas snow.
Dude, that it's Texas just these snow. People in Texas are, they can't handle it. They can't handle the snow. Nobody can handle the snow. 85% of the country is covered in like this polar vortex. Essentially, what you guys saw in The Day After Tomorrow is what's happening in our country right now. We are experiencing a cold chill from the Pacific Northwest all the way down to Texas, all across the South to just barely Florida, and then Florida's all hot weather.
Yep.
And people aren't handling it well. People aren't handling it well at all.
You know, it's probably the way they're talking about the Texas snow in California is probably how they talk about the fires, the California fires in Texas.
Oh, you're right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was a headline where somebody said, like, who was it? They did this like joke where it said something about, you know, what was it? Federal funding. But then when there's snow, Texas like wants to secede from the union. But then there's federal, right. Then there's snow, and then they're all like, we need some federal funding for this snow.
Where's the relief?
Where's the relief? Made me laugh.
I saw a meme that was like, hey, good job, not making fun of Texas and providing federal aid immediately.
Yeah, seriously.
Joe Biden.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I bet they hear about California fires and they're like, God damn it, these fuckers and their fires, like, get a grip.
Well, you know, the fires are much more deadly than some snow for a couple days. They'll be okay. It'll all be gone by Friday. Like, that's the crazy thing about this whole thing. They all got the snow, but by Friday, the weather's going to creep back up to whatever the temperature is, and the snow will be gone. It will be like it never even hit them.
Right.
But
what I hate, what I cannot stand is when the anti-climate change people use the snow and the cold as like a defense against climate change.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, look at all this global warming.
Oh, yeah. That's like, the line they use too, Dan.
Fuck up.
That is the line. Yeah. I guess we've got all of this global warming happening. It's like, yeah, actually we fucking do. That's why we're seeing extreme shifts in weather patterns. Did you get extreme shifts in weather patterns before? Dumbass.
If you're listening to this podcast and you are one of these people who's like, oh, yeah, what global warming? It's so cold.
Right.
That is part of it. That's why they changed it to climate change.
Absolutely.
Because you fuckers don't understand that it's so, that you're getting the extreme weather because of climate change.
Absolutely.
If it gets too hot, it'll get too cold later. And if it's too cold, it's going to get way too hot later. And then we're going to have freaking ice and fire and ice and fire.
We're
and
all going to be gonna in, that, die. In that Game of Thrones world is basically what it comes down to. Ice and fire basically. From beginning to end.
And I'm a tropical people, man. Africans, we're a tropical people.
I'm not.
I can't be doing this. I went to school in the cold, man. Frostburg, Maryland, stand up. But like, I can't, when it gets below 70, this California weather, man, has made me a punk bitch.
You're not going back either.
I ain't going back, dude.
Not a chance. No chance. No chance Dan Hill goes back to Maryland.
I can't leave my Crocs and my jorts. Are you kidding?
Well, you can leave your Crocs and your jorts for half the year. And then you can pull them out, wipe off the dust, throw those jorts and those Crocs back on, and go back outside and experience the nice, the huggy air of Maryland.
Jorts and Crocs are a year-round staple at the Hill House.
That's that could be offensive to some people. Not offensive to me. I totally understand why you wear your jorts and all that beautiful, beautiful, you know, summertime wear.
the snow looks beautiful on TV though, and the grams.
Yeah, it does.
I can't be around it.
Can't do it. What do you got for me, man? What's the story?
Man, I gotta tell you, I do not lift the seat. I never have, and I never will.
You don't lift the seat?
No.
When you I pee? Have to
go, when I pee, I do not lift the seat. When Ever? I was a child, it was out, when I was a child, it was out of laziness. I was like, why do I gotta lift the seat? I don't give a shit. So as a child, I perfected the art
okay.
of aim. I have pinpoint urine accuracy, Cody. I no longer need to lift the seat. I've trained myself to hit my target every time.
You understand that the reason you lift the seat isn't about hitting the target, right?
I'm sorry?
You understand that the reason that you lift the seat, it's not about you hitting your target. You understand this. You understand why we lift the seat.
Can you elaborate?
Yeah. It's called the splash effect, my friend.
I don't splash.
You can't. You are not Greg Louganis, okay? Your urine is not the ultimate high board diver. There's a reason. There's no way you don't splash. That's BS. No,
bro, I don't. And I look,
one of these
I have
days we're going to do a pee test where you're going to go and you're going to stand, you're going to pee. You can't touch the seat. And then you're going to walk out and I'm going to walk back in there and I'm gonna be like, dude, you have little droplets of sprinkle moisture all around the edge that somebody's ass is going to sit on and you think you don't splash. It's called the splash
Never.
Effect, my friend. And you, sir,
I got news for you.
Are the problem, not the solution.
I got news for you, buddy. I've done it at your house.
Yep.
I never lift a seat at the Frederick's house.
And just so everybody knows, I finally understand why the toilet seat is always wet after Dan leaves my house. Finally. I was wondering what it was. And, you know, honestly,
no, man.
It's terrible that I'm going to say this, but I always thought it was Jenny. But,
I mean, I'm about efficiency. I'm trying to cut out the middleman. Why lift it if I can just get it in? Why lift?
Well, I think I just clarified why you lift. Splash
There's
effect.
Other... I mean, I hear what you're saying about the splash, but I mean, I have like... If you have a deep toilet...
Oh, sure.
If you have a deep toilet,
sure.
I'm talking low water.
Yeah.
Then I have a technique where I will just hit... the side of the bowl so that it trickles down to the
water. No, 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 no. You're doing...
And it's not splashing. It's not splashing,
urinal.
Man.
You're doing the urinal maneuver, but it doesn't work in a bowl, man.
It does if you have low water. If you have low water, it works. If you have high water, then I monitor my stream. I don't do a heavy stream.
Oh yeah, you're controlling flow, huh?
I got a valve, baby. I've worked on my valve.
This is insane.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know.
I have evolved.
I've evolved. Oh wow.
Yes,
so you're
sir.
You're the next making of mankind. This
my penis and urination technique should be studied.
You'd let people study that?
In classroom,
the guy in the
yes.
room, everybody's like, this is Dan Hill. Like, you do one of those old school high school instruction videos. Hi, this is Dan Hill.
I can't do live, so I'll do like a recorded sort of like industrial video.
Industrial.
Like, this is how we do this.
Industrial?
You know? Yeah.
What does an industrial pee video look like? Here's Dan Hill like, after a hard day at the construction website or the construction right. like site.
You've worked at like a chain restaurant or something, right? Or like a chain where you had to watch like a training video?
Yeah. I've worked for, you know, corporate America.
It'd be like that. Yeah, it'd be like that.
That's right.
There'd be like tests afterwards, like what should you do?
Absolutely.
High water, low bowl. You're gonna use the valve method.
It could be a comparative video where this is Cody. Cody's going in to use the restroom and not lift the seat. Watch Cody's technique. And then they kind of see me like prep to go. And then they cut down to the toilet seat. And it's just like,
just
like splash.
Everywhere.
It looks like a volcano is erupting out of the toilet.
Like one of those, what do you call it? The as seen on TV videos that always make some sort of action extremely difficult so that they can sell a product that fixes it.
You don't want it to be like this, do you?
Like, do you have problems closing your wallet? And the wallet is like, there's like a brick in there.
It's an oversized wallet. Everybody's put like, you know, legal documents in there. You have your, you know, yeah.
Right. Where the one for cleaning out your ears where the guy's like, has this happened to you? And the guy fucking shoves a Q-tip in his ear and he looks at the camera and he's like, ow! The guy, the commercial to sell like the new ear cleaning thing where the guy like shoves a Q-tip in his ear and he's like, ow!
Ow, this hurts. Do you hate accidentally, except you can tell he's intentionally shoving the Q-tip deep into his ear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's you just whizzing all over the place.
That's exactly. I would be, you know, the opposite of who Dan is. We have a technique and you could basically start your own school. And then you have students
school.
And you could teach them. What would you call the method? What's your technique?
Well, there's the backboard method, like hit the bowl, let it trickle.
Okay.
Let it trickle down.
Sure.
That's for low water. High water, you want to, that's about like mind control, about, you know, really adjusting your
flow,
your stream, your flow. That's
right.
It's a muscle that you'll have to exercise, you know?
Sure.
It takes time.
Absolutely.
That type of shit takes time.
Yeah.
I also have techniques for, you know, urinating in public. Like I'm sort of an expert on covert urination techniques, the walk and pee.
Pee. Wow, this is one crazy pee. Wow, this is my walk and pee. Get it?
I can walk and pee and not miss a beat. I can keep up with anybody.
That's impressive. Like that's something
it's amazing.
That's really great. I'm super happy that you have this skill that you are keeping to yourself. However, it sounds like you are willing to listen to others and give them the opportunity to learn from you.
I want the people listening to let me know You know, what are some of your techniques? How have you gotten away from lifting the seat? Lifting the seat is so old. Like, we don't have time for that. How much time are you spending of your life cumulatively lifting the seat and then putting it down? Or not putting it down and getting yelled at for not putting it down. Just don't lift it up, guys. Get better. Get better. Get accurate.
What, you know what? I don't have time.
Hmm.
I don't have time to be accurate.
So you wait till the last minute.
I got to go in there, push it all out as fast as I can, and get out of there. I don't have time to worry about a mess.
You're going fire hose? You're going fire hose out there?
I'm going, I don't care, man. Like, nobody's stopping me.
And you push? That's bad. I feel like that's bad.
No, man. It strengthens the bladder.
To push?
Yeah, to push.
I don't know, man.
The intensity of the flow also determines lifespan, skill as a lover, and whether you're vegetarian or vegan. All of that from how you've push it all out.
I think hearing a loud urine stream, like a heavy, I think that is offensive. You know?
Yeah. I guess it's defensive. Because
yeah,
your body makes these noises.
It's barbaric.
Your body doesn't make the noise, but the... Okay, well. All right, man. Well, it's good to know. I really don't know what got us here to this moment.
I thought it was something I should share, you know? I thought, hey, you know, episode 246... Now it's time. It's time to let the world know.
We as a group are all closer together now because of that. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
I spent Monday with Fitz. We drove down to downtown Los Angeles, parked in this weird, junky parking garage, loaded with like spray paint. It was awesome. Fitz and I decided to take a little walk around downtown LA. And I'll tell you what.
Oh, boy.
There are no shops. There are four lease signs all over the place. Everything is out of business because of the pandemic.
And everybody's out of there.
Yeah. Like, we walked around. We had ourselves a grand old time, me and that kid. We had a blast. We went down to Grand Central Market, which is still open, surprisingly.
Really?
And we went and ordered ourselves a pie. And then we sat outside and we shared the pie together, me and the kid.
Did you stroller him? Do you stroller him?
God, no. Stroller? I'm a man.
Do you carry? You got him in a carrier?
No, man. He's walking. Yeah. Holding my hand. We're walking around downtown Los Angeles like a couple crazy kids.
No stroller.
No, dude. Why would I stroller him? He can walk.
What if he's like, I don't want to walk anymore?
I'll throw him up on my shoulders.
You'll throw him on the shoulders.
Okay. I do the shoulder maneuver if need be. We do the shoulder maneuver a lot. If he doesn't want to walk, I'll carry him if need be. But for the most part, you know, I try and...
He was handling it.
I try and encourage him to walk on his own.
That's good.
He's curious enough, especially when you go downtown and it's like a whole other world. This kid's like in a forest of crazy people.
Were you like, Fitz, don't fucking touch anything?
No, not really. I mean, he was pretty good. We went down to Pershing Square, which is kind of, you know, this downtown park. Right in the middle of kind of, I think it's near 7th, like it's between 6th and 7th Street or something like that.
All right. Okay.
And, you know, they had a little kids park in there and it was open. But, you know, he kind of climbed on some of the stuff. There were no kids there. It was just him.
Yeah, because it's downtown. Did you give him, did you Purell the park before you let him climb around?
Dude, like, kids gotta be in dirt, man. Kids gotta be around dirty. It's the way these kids get strong, man.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Gotta be, any he's gotta be around, around dirty. Are there any homeless? That's actually a great point, because I have never seen the homeless problem as bad as it is right now.
It's so bad, dude.
It is so bad. You go down to Union Station and it is a community of tents for a quarter mile radius of this whole place. It's just, it's the most, it's the saddest thing you've ever seen. And dude, you don't know what to do. Yeah, it's awful.
I picked up something on Facebook Marketplace. So I had to go into the San Fernando Valley, which, like, you know, during the pandemic, we don't really do.
Sure.
So I hadn't been down there for months, and I was driving back, and I had to get gas around Universal.
Yeah.
Like Universal City Walk exit.
Oh, it's bad over there too, man.
Dude, I was like, wait, where am I right now?
Yeah.
It looked like a third world country.
Yeah.
Of like tents.
Over
city.
Especially over by those train stops or the train stations, bus mm-hmm. stations, the major outlets of where people are moving. It's, it's really sad to see. And,
We talked about this before, man. It's like, I don't know if putting them in homes is gonna help anything. I think you gotta really.
It's a systemic thing. Like, you have to help prop people up at that point. NPR did a news thing on it, and they were talking about how the problem with the homeless situation in the state of California is that it's not centralized. That this mm-hmm. is what they were made. This is what somebody was making the argument with. It's not centralized. So what happens is you have communities that are overserved or underserved, and you have communities where there's a lot of redundant things taking place, and you're missing out on areas that you can actually help. So if there's a process to helping somebody no longer be homeless, maybe there's overfunding in one arena and no funding in another, or there's areas where there's no funding. And there's areas where there's overfunding, like cities where there's overfunding and there shouldn't be funding, or there should be funding. You know what I mean? And then it's about allocations of where those funds go and how they're managed and who oversees that. And, you know, California doesn't have a good plan on how to manage their homeless. City of Los Angeles doesn't have a good plan on how to manage their homeless. And you'd think, you know, these guys have passed loads of bills to pay for housing. And in the city of in Los Angeles, in its own right, a lot of homelessness is driven by the fact of that we see a lot of homelessness because Los Angeles is a heavily populated area. Rents are high. And we have a housing crisis where there's just a shortage of places for people to live.
Yep.
And, you know, that's what you get in these types of scenarios.
The rent's too damn high.
The rents are 100%. High. The rents are high. And but it's more than, like, even if you put caps on rents, you know, then what happens is you get people end up selling properties, and then even the price of home properties go up even more and more and more because the demand for those properties are there. I don't know. I don't know the answer for low rents, how to maintain it. You put a price ceiling on it where you limit how much it is. And then what happens is maybe there's, I don't know. I think rents are high, man.
It's hard. It's tough, man. If we knew the answers, people would be paying us a lot of money to implement them.
Right. We don't know the answers, so people aren't paying us a lot of money.
Nope. But so downtown was like a ghost town, huh?
Nah, I mean, it wasn't a ghost town. Like, the Grand Central Market was pretty busy for the most part. there were quite a few people there. There were people walking around and walking downtown. I did enjoy that. We went down there really early in the morning on Monday. I think we got down there probably 9:45, 10 o'clock, and we walked around for about an hour, hour and a half. And then at 11, we went and grabbed the pizza, and then we walked back to the car. I mean, we were out for 2 hours, 3 hours. We didn't get home until 1. Then I put him down, and he crashed for 3.5 hours.
Did you go past Hotel Cecil?
I don't know.
The Cecil Hotel?
Where's that?
There's a Netflix documentary that's like everyone's fucking going bananas over.
Really?
Yeah. About this, like the Cecil Hotel.
Let's take a look at this thing. I mean, we were at Pershing. Cecil Hotel, huh?
Yeah, it's like where I guess serial killers like stayed there, and a lot of deaths have occurred there. 16.
And now it's called Stay on the Main. Stay on Main is the name of the hotel.
Wow.
Right. But it's really the Cecil. It apparently it's like it's the hotel that they modeled American Horror Story Hotel after.
Oh, interesting. That's a cool building. It's a super cool building. I appreciate the look of downtown Los Angeles. I like downtown Los Angeles. It is interesting walking down there with him, and you realize just how that kind of city isn't necessarily built for kids. I mean, there's no city that's built for kids, right? Unless we're talking about like Kids City,
this
USA.
Is a city for kids.
Yeah, like there's no city for
there's
kids.
There's candy on the streets.
I saw, you know, there was enough people out where I only really saw one kind of family walking with their children. And then it was just Fitz and I. Everybody else were in their early, mid-20s. Or they were homeless.
We're in a pandemic, man. You don't take your kid out to the goddamn downtown.
Why? We're outside. Nobody's going to get sick of being outside unless you get the cold, unless you get a cold or COVID. I don't know. Anyway, we went
out. Listen to these types of deaths at Cecil Hotel.
Okay.
Suicide, gunshot to the head. Ingested poison. Suicide, gunshot to the head. Suicide, slit throat. Death, fell from building. Death, fell from building. Death, ingested poison. Death, ingested poison. Murder, newborn, discarded from window. Death, fell from building. Death, fell from building. Death, fell from building. Suicide, fell from building.
Oh my gosh.
This shit is insane. Murder, stabbed, beaten, and raped. Death, fell from building. Death, fell from building.
So people death, are like, when they fall from building, it is. They're jumping. It's one of those staple spots where they go to kill themselves.
Well, I think, because some are suicide fell from building. Others are death fell from building.
I don't understand. What does that mean?
I feel like they can't rule it out. They can't rule out the suicide versus potential murder.
Okay. Sure.
And then the last one is death suspected to have fallen from building.
Okay, so you're gonna die.
I haven't watched this documentary, but I want to jump on that.
You know, I probably walked right by this place. We were off of Main and Spring. Where is this Brazo Historic Dental Care? What the hell is that? Joe's Parking, LA Exchange. No, we were off Spring. I was on 7th and Spring. We were right across the street from. We were on a street parallel to that. We did not go in there. We were at 710 South Spring Parking Garage.
It's like the next Netflix binge.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out. Yeah, man. But we went down there. I took my camera. Just did a bunch of photography. Took photos with him. That's little cool. Guy out there. You know, I like to go take pictures, so. We had a lot of fun just kind of going out and about and walking around downtown.
That's cool, dude. You enjoying being a daddy-o in 2021? Good stuff.
I think, yeah. I told Madeline the other day, I was like, I just really enjoy being a dad.
It has its perks.
It does have its perks. Fun. It's definitely got its perks. I do definitely enjoy it. But anyway, so that's what we did, and it was super sweet. What'd you find? What'd you find, man? Tell me what you found right now. I want to hear what you found.
There are people, like, their minds are being blown because someone dropped, like, a video of side-by-side footage from Winnie the Pooh and the Jungle Book. And it's literally frame by frame the same actions.
Okay.
And people are like, what the fuck? My childhood's been ruined.
No, that's well known that Disney would do this to save money.
Yeah. I didn't really know this.
Yeah, they did that to help reduce the cost, because anytime they had to recreate frames and stuff, it's easier for them to basically just draw, to trace over the old frames with the new characters and then just put in a new backdrop.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I had like no idea that was even a thing. So, I mean, it kind of did. I was a little taken aback by it. Like, hey, what the hell? That's like cheating, you know?
Is it cheating?
I don't know. I feel like it feels cheap. It feels cheap if like you're getting called out on it. Like, hey, man, it's literally the same foot, same. You just put new clothes on them, you know?
I don't know. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it because, you know, you're in a different world. What's the difference of, like,
sent you the link to it. You should watch the side-by-side of Christopher Robin and Mowgli doing the same shit. And don't feel... Tell me you don't feel a little, like, cheated.
Let's take a look here. Interesting. Christopher Mowgli. Okay. There's Pooh. Yes, I've heard about that.
It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it makes sense. Huh. Interesting. I don't feel cheated. The stories are different. The emotions might be the same, and they may have written some things around it, but...
I feel a little cheated.
Why?
Because, like, the whole, like, if a musical artist released a song and then they released the same song 20 years later, but the beat was different, but the lyrics were, like, the same, would you be like, that's the same fucking song, dude?
Yeah, dude.
That's not a new song.
They do that shit all the time. They like remaster the song. It's the same fucking song.
Right. And we say that.
Yeah, like, we say it's the same fucking song. But even still, like, if we're playing music, all of this shit is regurgitated. And it's just kind of reshuffled so that it's different. This is basically the same thing as doing that.
But you appreciate a brand new song, no?
I appreciate a brand new song, but a lot of, like, what is the saying? What's the old saying? Every song that's ever been made's already been written.
Mm.
There's no such thing as being original with that at that point, because they've all been pulled out of the same kind of hand, because there's only so many musical notes. There's only so many like speeds that you can play them at. There's only so many combinations of those musical notes that you can play them at. So every song's been written. In a way, this is kind of that same idea where, you know, all of these characters move in very similar ways anyway. So let's just reuse the same motions because it's cheaper. And, you know,
this feels like slimier than a remake of a song or even a remake of a movie. This is frame by frame. This is someone at the highest level being like, why don't you just throw them the fucking Snow White footage? Snow White dancing with the dwarves.
The story's just different, though. Stories are different. Characters are different. It's not the same. It's kind of like, it'd be interesting, kind of like an interesting test, to take the same shots from, I don't know.
From like Total Recall.
Yeah, take the same shots from Total Recall. Same motions from Total Recall. You change the set, you change the characters, you change the story, but they all move in the same, you use the same shots, but you retell a different story that way. Why is that cheating you?
Because it's not created from scratch.
The animation created from scratch. Everything's inspired by something, isn't it? Like the idea that something is truly original. Hey, man, I am all about being truly original. I love truly original things. But making something truly original is special and very hard. And when it comes to a big, giant commercial company like Disney, even when Disney was starting out, dude, like, I'm okay with it. I don't have an issue with it.
They had to cut some corners.
They had to. I mean, they did.
It's why we appreciate, you know, Christopher Nolan films. I was talking to Jenny about this. I'm like, he's like one of the last guys, like, making original stories. Maybe not original ideas, but like, he's telling new stories and being given a big budget to do that. It's not your remake or your franchise or your superhero. You know,
I hear what you're saying, man, but I kind of disagree. I kind of disagree in that there's a lot of other people telling different stories, different ways. Jordan Peele.
Original?
Yeah. Original.
Sure. Yeah. Get Out.
Jordan Peele. Who wrote Klansman?
Spike Lee.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's loads of people coming up with different interesting ways to tell stories. It just might not be as mainstream as you like. I think that there's a...
Well, I think the problem is big budget.
Well, big budget's big risk. And studios don't put a lot of money towards big budget, big risk. Hell, you look at the last couple movies that even Christopher Nolan's done, they're not going to keep feeding him cash. They're not going to keep feeding this man cash.
Well, yeah, they kind of pooped on Tenet.
Because he's got two big woofs, as I like to call it. He's got two big woofs. Dunkirk was a box office bomb. And
was
Tenet,
it really?
Dunkirk?
Yeah.
Dude, what's the budget on Dunkirk? I'm pretty sure it bombed.
I'm really smitten with Tenet. I need to watch it again.
Sure.
And I like that about Nolan films where I'm like, I want to get it. I want to understand it more. I want to watch it more. I like it, but there's so much that I've missed or want to understand further. And that's how I really tell if I think it's a good movie, you know?
I guess it wasn't a bomb. It did pretty well worldwide. They had a budget of $100 million. And it did 200 in the U.S. and worldwide it did 530. So it did really well.
Yeah, it killed.
Yeah, it did pretty good. I think it's, yeah.
Tenet was pretty out there, man.
Sure. I really liked Interstellar.
Loved Interstellar.
Thought it was cool. I just like science fiction stuff.
I think some would say like that's a slight rip from Space Odyssey.
Yeah, maybe, but it's like a modern day version. I mean, it's kind of like your whole Winnie the Pooh and Jungle Book reenactment, right?
Frame by frame.
Frame by frame. No, not really, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just interested in your take on it. I feel like it's a little cheap.
I knew about it. I get it. It doesn't bother me as much. I can understand why it might bother other people, but I, like, you didn't know until somebody told you that was the case.
No. Yeah, I had no idea.
Somebody had to analyze it one by one. But even now that you know, like, that doesn't take away. Like, I look at it this way.
It's like your parents putting vegetables.
What?
It's like your parents putting vegetables in your like dessert, like sneaking it in. You didn't know, but now that you do, you're like, I had brownies. I had broccoli in my brownies for 5 years.
Does living through and experiencing Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire's home run chase change, knowing that they both were juicing? Does knowing that you lived through that and the hype that was there change that experience for you?
No, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, you don't care about that. That's not.
I think they all should be juicing.
I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
No, I'm saying like I didn't care that they were juicing. I'm like, let's get everybody juicing.
That wasn't
juicing.
The topic of conversation. Nobody questioned juice at that point. Like, yes, right. Mark McGwire looked like he was like, you know, built out of Play-Doh and turned into this like overly huge strong man, right? Same with Barry Bonds, right? But Mark McGwire was like crazy weird looking juiced.
Oh yeah, he was fucking hopped up on the sauce.
Anyway, I'm just saying, like, I actually am even more okay with the Jungle Book Winnie the Pooh thing, because you take the same motions, but the stories are so very different and the characters are so very different. You don't like, you know, and not just that, like Mowgli was by himself, Pooh's there in the other one. So I'm okay with it.
Like,
I'm okay with it, man.
Like Christopher Robbins, where's that setting? The outdoors?
Where? For Christopher Robin?
Yeah.
They're probably in, what is the land that he goes to? Christopher Robin visits Winnie the Pooh in, what the hell is his home called? Something
England?
Forest? No. What's the forest that he goes to visit? I keep wanting to say Sherwood Forest, but it's not Sherwood Forest because that's Robin Hood. Anyway, he goes to the forest where Pooh and Piglet and Tigger and Roo and Baby Roo and
Ashdown.
And what?
Ashdown no. Forest? Oh, no. Hundred no. Acre Woods.
Hundred Acre Woods, right.
So the Hundred Acre Wood is also the jungle.
No, man, the backdrops are completely different. It's completely different settings.
I mean, they got the same tree. And
they
the
don't
same
have the
rock.
Same trees. He's standing on a branch when he's standing on a
it's
rock.
It's like these magical places and settings are borrowed from other places.
The settings aren't borrowed. The settings are original. What are you talking about? Those settings are different. It's the motions that are driving you mad.
If you ordered a sandwich.
Oh, here we go.
And you got the sandwich.
Okay.
And you ate it.
Uh-huh.
And you enjoyed it.
Dude, I get it. Yeah.
But then you learned after you ate it that sandwich was made for somebody else. And they were like, I don't want it. And then so they took it back and then they gave it to you.
I don't want it. They took it back and then they gave it to you? What are you talking about?
Like, somebody came in before you, ordered that sandwich. The sandwich was made for them. It was delivered to them. And then they looked at it and they're like, I don't want that sandwich. And then you came in, ordered a sandwich, and they brought you that person's sandwich that they said they didn't want. And then you ate it and you liked it.
Okay.
It's fucked up. You should get a brand new sandwich.
That's a weird fucking analogy, especially when the sandwich you're going to order that's not that sandwich is the same fucking sandwich that you just refused.
No, you didn't refuse it. The person before you who was in the restaurant refused it. So
sure.
They just kept it on retainer.
And you just and then they ate gave it that to you. Sandwich. So the sandwich you were going to order was the same sandwich that asshole ordered.
Yeah. I mean, you should get a brand new made sandwich for
that's
you.
That's the same as the sandwich that you just refused?
No, you didn't refuse the sandwich ever.
I understand that, but if the scenario is, hey, I'm one guy and I say, well, I look at the sandwich that I just ordered. Nah, I don't want it. And then they hand you that sandwich. Mm-hmm. So in your scenario, you're saying that person that was just handed the sandwich that somebody refused, mm-hmm. they should get a brand new sandwich made. That new sandwich that they're going to have made is the exact same fucking sandwich that they just refused.
But it's old and busted.
Why is it old and busted?
It's tired. It was given to someone else first and then brought back into the kitchen and then given to you, unsuspecting guy who doesn't know their sandwich is a piece of shit and it's old and it's remade.
So ridiculous. Like, that's what branding is, isn't it? Like, you love brands, dude. It's regurgitation of the same old fucking shit over and over and over again, and you eat that shit up like candy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay, how about we do it this way? So, Daddy gets you this brand new video game system, right? Oh, shit, right. I can play all these games on this video game system, right? So, you get this video game system, and then you fucking play the games, and then all of a sudden, 2 years later, somebody says, wait a minute. We got a new video game system. You can play new games and the old games, and you still can play games on it. So you get a new system, same fucking shit. Oh, I get to play my games some more. And then you do. It's the same fucking shit, Dan. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, man?
The game is the same. It's just like part two. I mean, I get it. Like Call of Duty. Call of Duty is the same repackaged fucking kill people game and ever.
So that's even worse. That's even worse than what you're complaining about right now. Yes.
It's like every
sports game that was ever made in the last fucking 30 years. It's always the same game.
They're on the new teams now.
Yeah, you don't think they reuse those moves? You don't think they reuse those moves? Get out of here.
They definitely do.
I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying, buddy. You can't be hating on this.
The difference with the sports games is that it's always like the same arena. Because it's always the same player. But here, they're giving you one movie that's a magical children's movie, special setting, everything. And then that same footage, just tweaked by the clothes and like the words, are a different magical movie? A different magical story?
Absolutely.
No, it's the same.
Absolutely. So you're telling me every movie ever made where a couple kisses, it's less and less unoriginal than the first time? Oh, fuck, they're kissing. They just stole that from the first movie where somebody was fucking kissing. Oh my God, they're kissing again.
If we watch the video more, there's full like dance numbers with like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs that were reused.
And King Louis, and they reused the King Louis dance sequence with something else. I'm very familiar with this, but you had no idea that they did this beforehand. It wasn't obvious. It's not obvious.
Now I know. I know that the sandwich I ordered was delivered to somebody else before me.
And you're still going to eat that fucking sandwich because you know it's good. That's the bottom line. No matter what you say. So I guess the bottom line to this whole story is eat your sandwich, bitches. Eat your sandwich. Wow. Dan?
What's up?
I think it's time.
Oh, you think it's time?
I think it's time for this week's
True Crime!
I'm going to give the call out to Mehron. for this week's True Crime.
Big time director man, Mayron.
Big time director man, Mayron. Mayron sent Dan and I a true crime video today. Mayron, big shout out to you, buddy. I miss you. Can't wait to see you in this post-COVID era at one of these points.
If you haven't watched Curse of Aurora, go do it right now. It's available for download. Hit it up.
VOD. VOD, bitches. So he sent us this news article, ABC News in Pennsylvania. Police were called to a neighborhood, and once they had arrived, they found none other than a Pennsylvania couple. They found them, Lisa Goy and James Goy, 50 and 48 years old, respectively, dead on the street in front of their home. Dead. These two were dead. Gunshot wounds to these two. So the police started checking out neighbors' houses, knocking doors. And the neighbors that they spoke with said, you need to check out the house that came from across the street. And when they did, they found a 47-year-old man by the name of James Spade dead from what looks like a self-inflicted gunshot wound. So,
say what?
So these cops did some investigating, asked some questions, some tough questions that people had to figure out. And what they uncovered was that this couple and this guy had been getting in fights over the last 6 months during the pandemic. And it got so bad that this couple started shoveling snow and throwing it in his driveway. And he came out and he came out and confronted them and apparently just shot them. Pop, pop. He shot both of them, killed them dead. And they had some heated
over
words.
The snow.
That's right. Apparently James Goy, he apparently threw a tool at Spade that he'd been using to clear the snow. And then Spade raised his fist and reportedly retreated in his house, fetched a gun, and then he shot both of them in the front of their house. Went back inside and blew his own brains out.
Dude. That's the thing today, man. You do not know strike you're on with people.
It's absolutely true. And
what straw are you on?
People are on edge, right?
Yeah.
They can't go get their coffees. They can't go to their shops. They can't live their normal best life, whatever it is. I saw the perfect post today. Adam Carolla had a great post he put on Instagram. And it was a photo of, it was steps, and there were two doors on this set of steps. And on one side of the step, all of the snow was shoveled. And then there was a clear defined line in front of the other steps where the snow wasn't shoveled. And it was a perfect example of America right now. And that's in the idea that the person that shoveled those steps could have easily just shoveled the whole set of steps because it wasn't crazy. It's not like these were big steps that would have taken forever.
Right.
But because they were unwilling to, it's definitely a sign of the times we're in right now, you know? I think it comes down to is we all need to go out and just fucking give our neighbors blowjobs. Like, we need something that connects each other. And I think there needs to be community sexual favors that are taking place that people feel connected. I think there needs to be something. Maybe that's crazy. I think that's crazy. But there needs to be neighborly BJs, maybe just a barbecue. I don't know what it is. We just need to get people together so that they feel safe. And I know I'm saying this, and I'm not doing that with my neighbors because my neighbors are crazy.
Right. Yeah, you have beef with your neighbors.
My neighbors are crazy in the best ways. So, that's what we got, man. Anyway.
But here's the other thing, though. Is Adam Carolla shoveling the fucking steps?
Fuck no.
Hell no.
No fucking way. Anyway.
He's not shoveling the steps. He's not even shoveling one side of the steps.
Yeah.
He's just stepping in it.
Right.
so that his feet hit the steps.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I don't know, you know, that goes against, like, you don't need to be perfect to call out imperfections in the world.
No, it's too like, we're all imperfect. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Nobody's but, like, you know, here's the reality. There was this time where they would always say, well, that's the best of America. That's what they do. That's the best of America. The reality is the best of America was that we wanted to try to be the best of America. Mm-hmm. And now it's set itself aside to where it's like, it's no longer the striving to be the best of America. It's to look out for you and you only.
Yeah.
And that's not community, man. Yeah. That's the problem. That's the problem.
Everybody's doing the,
I need to do more to help society. Don't you? What do you feel?
I feel an urge, a self-driven goal to be nicer to people right now. I feel that pull. I'm trying to put out that energy.
Sure.
Of not being a dick, giving people the benefit of the doubt. I mean, even before the pandemic, like, I used to shush people in the movie theater, and Jenny would be like, don't do that. You do not know if someone is just going to turn around and blow your head off. If, like, that, they're waiting for that one shush. You don't know where people are at.
They're in watching a remastered version of Jungle Book, and they just realize that it's from Winnie the Pooh, and they're just going to fucking blow your brains out the minute they notice it.
Fuck! I've seen them wash the dishes like that. I saw that shit in Sword of the Stone.
Well, this also, just another thought, this Spade guy allegedly shot this couple, went back into his house, grabbed another firearm, and went and shot their dead bodies again.
What?
Yeah. So, anyway.
Dude, I sent you a video of a guy walking up to a house. I DM'd you this on Instagram. The guy walks up to the house, and he's going to steal a package that was delivered.
You don't know that he's stealing the package, though, in the video.
No.
You don't realize it. I mean,
he walks up. He walks up, and he picks up this box, and he starts to walk away. And then instantaneously, almost as if this other guy is just, like, waiting for this to happen, he casually opens up his front door, and he's holding an M16, like, militarized.
He's got an assault rifle on his side. And he says, where you think you're going with that package, motherfucker?
He says, put my motherfucking shit on my porch. Back on my porch. And the guy who's stealing the package, I've never seen a turnaround like that quickly. And he's just like, all right, you got it. Yep, I am wrong. I'm very sorry. And he's like, you messed up. You messed up today. And then he just, like, walks away.
He runs away. Like, he walks for a minute, and then he, like, books it. What's funny is the car that he got out of, right at the top of that, I imagine you watch this. The car that he got out of is waiting at the end of the driveway.
Right.
And then as soon as the guy steps out with the gun, and he sees the guy with the package turns around and starts walking back towards him, the car in the backdrop just slowly starts to drive away.
He's like, oh, no. He's like, I don't want any of that noise. That dude is ready for the thunder.
Yeah.
And he didn't even have to point. He didn't have to point the gun.
No, he just kept it down to his side the whole time.
He just held it. He said, put my shit back on this motherfucking porch. he's probably sitting by the door like, I hope. I wish a motherfucker would.
Right.
Come. The other thing I don't understand was stealing packages. It's like, you have no idea what's in there.
For all you know,
it's a shot in the dark.
Yeah, absolutely. For all you know, that guy, like, are you willing to risk your life for a pair of socks?
Right.
Like, that's it. For all you know, this guy's like, he's buying his year supply of socks right now. That's what's coming in.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what'd we get today, Jim? Diapers.
Diapers again.
It was a big box. I thought it was heavy. It was big. I took it. Turns out it's just size threes.
Yeah, dude.
Like that's a tough go. That's a tough run at life. If that's what you're doing, you're driving around lifting Amazon boxes.
Truth. Nothing but truth right there, my friend.
Well, what's the lesson here? Be careful. Don't piss people off during a pandemic.
I don't necessarily know if it's don't piss people off, but I do think that there is something to where it's like we have to work through our problems.
Yes.
And continuing to hate and hate each other just gets us to the point where there's an explosion. Like, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
we just have to try and, you know, I don't have an answer for anything, but I guess you can also go based off of Jenny's thing. You just never know. You never know when somebody's having a bad day. And in this world, everybody seems to have a gun, and it's just, you know, news is meant to scare you and you think everybody's got a gun, and probably everybody has a gun, but they're not always carrying it. Nobody's really, such a small percentage of people are going to get. Anyway, whatever. But I guess that's this week's
True Crime.
Well, what do you got?
We did it.
I think we did it too. I mean, that's this week. It's February 16th today. So tomorrow's going to be the 17th when you guys will be listening to this.
Hope you guys had a happy Valentine's Day. Hope you had lots and lots of candy and sex. And
I hope you guys just got a lot of kisses. A lot of kisses. I hope you guys got a lot of kisses. That's all I got.
Be careful out there. Remember, Little Bow Wow is making his last album, and then he is going to throw his hat in the pro wrestling ring. So
that's the week.
We can all look forward
Thanks
to
for
that.
Thanks for listening and laughing with the Dan and Cody podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram @DanCodyPodcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody play the tough guy and shit.
All right.